And part of that CBS broadcast will be Steve Tasker, NFL analyst on CBS. Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
No, man, always nice to have you. Always great to have you. First of all, Steve, I know you live up. How's the snow and everything going on up in Buffalo? Any more, or what's that been like?
That actually has been pretty nice up here. It's nobody's playing golf, don't get me wrong, but it's more of a normal winter after that snowstorm we had about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, that's been the weirdest thing to see those guys get out of there and then, by the way, play so well in Detroit. I thought it was actually a great story that everybody kind of got behind. Hey, Steve, I want to ask you about this game as we look at it, and a lot of folks I know nationally think Ravens really have an advantage in this game. They've been a physical team, but, man, losing Haloti Ngata, what's that going to be like for this team? How big a loss is it?
I think it's a big loss. I think they're going to have a hard time stopping the run. I think, you know, Miami's game plan's got to change because of that. I mean, coming in there, and, you know, Baltimore, I mean, the strength of their team, unlike years past, has been their defense. I'm sorry, their offense. Joe Flacco can really sling it. And once, when Ray Lewis retired and now Terrell Suggs is the leader of the defense, they lost, you know, their safeties. You know, it's just, it turned into an offensive team, especially when Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl and got paid. That's the identity of their team. It's changed over, and they're really good at it. They can really sling it. Joe Flacco with Steve Smith Sr. and Torrey Holt, I mean, those guys can get it done. Although Steve Smith seems to have, you know, hit a plateau a little bit here of late, you know that he's got it in him to cut loose. So the fact that they lost Haloti Ngata isn't as big a loss as it would have been, say, in their heyday of defense. But still, I think it does help Miami's offense. It's going to help Ryan Tannehill a ton to have a running game that's a little bit more productive down inside. And you can bet that I think it did change the dynamic of this game.
Steve, the head-scratcher has been what's happened to the Dolphins' defensive front seven and given up all these yards the last 2 weeks. What have you seen besides bad tackling?
Well, it doesn't take much more than bad tackling. Plus, if you have one or two wrong run fits and a half along with the bad tackling, you're going to give up, you know, 100 or 210 yards to the Jets. Plus, particularly when the Jets are giving you a kind of a college-type offense, when they're running all that reverse and the counter plays and the end around,
right,
they're using guys that they don't usually run. I mean, it's hard to get a handle on that. And you can tell too in the second half, not only did the Dolphins tackle better and fit in their runs better, you know, the Jets got to the end of that playlist. I mean, they couldn't go back to those triple reverses.
That's right.
You know, they didn't have any more of that to go to. So once they had to play a real run offense, and turn around and hand it off, well, the Dolphins fared a little better. I think, you know, you may see a little bit of that against Baltimore as well, since the Jets had so much success with it. But, you know, most of these teams have at most four or five of those plays, maybe six of those plays that they'll call, and most of those don't get called. The Jets pulled it all out. I mean, they ran it all out. So the Dolphins, you know, they may see it from the Baltimore Ravens, but you won't get more than one or two, maybe three plays, because Joe Flacco's not that type of quarterback.
Steve, Ryan Tannehill, I know a lot of people think he's going to have a big passing game against this Ravens secondary, maybe the biggest weakness on this team for them to have a chance to win. What do you think about Ryan Tannehill and what you've seen? You've had a chance to watch him most of these last 3 years. What do you think and where he is right now?
You know, I was looking through the stuff, the notes for the game, and he has right now, with four games to play, the exact number of completions that he had as his entire rookie year. He's got 282 completions, but it's taken him 60 less completions, or 60 less attempts to get those completions. So, you know, his percentage went from 58% passer to a 66% passer, and he's got 8 more touchdowns and 4 fewer interceptions. I mean, that guy's playing. He's playing well. He needs guys that are going to help him. I mean, there's no question. He needs to find a way to get Mike Wallace involved. Mike Wallace needs to become a little bit more well-rounded receiver and be a little bit better underneath. I mean, I know he's the deep threat, but he's also a run-after-catch guy, and they need to use that a little more. I think Landry has been a find for them, and he's starting to flash and show some things. But I think that's the key. I don't think there's any question Ryan Tannehill is kind of put a solid grip on the quarterback spot and giving people a lot of confidence going forward that he can play well enough to win. And I don't care who they're playing. If they can go into Denver and put together the kind of game they did, even in a loss, I think Ryan Tannehill's your guy. And I think they have every reason to think that he can win any game you need him to win. But he's going to need help from his defense and his running game.
All right. Buffalo's also got a heck of a game. They're going to go to Denver now. What do you think about this this Buffalo team? They're playing pretty good again. Can they go in there and beat Denver?
Well, it could happen. I don't know if there's that many people outside their locker room that believes it will. Although, when they saw the Miami Dolphins go in there and give Denver all they could handle, I think that made some people sit up. I think one of the things that people are doing against Denver is playing man coverage on them. And they're just daring Peyton Manning to throw the ball over the top. They don't think he's got the strong arm anymore, that he can get over the top very easily. Certainly they can fool some people and go deep, but I don't think anybody's worried about Peyton driving the ball down the field. I think they're going to sit on all the short routes, try and take away the run, and almost invite Denver to run the game, run the ball. And even if Denver scores the ball, scores touchdowns running the football a lot, they may score, but they're not going to score 50 running the ball. At least it keeps you in the game. And I think that's one of the, you know, kind of one of the game plans, generally speaking, that a lot of teams are throwing at the Denver Broncos.
Steve, I think the front four for the Buffalo Bills, I thought it last year. I definitely think it this year. It's the best, period. I mean, you don't have to take anybody out on first down, second down, or third down. Those, that front four, they can get after it, man. That's as good as you can do right there. Do you agree?
Yeah, and they're pretty deep, too. They bring some guys off the bench that can play as well and give some quality snaps, too. And I think, you know, I've been living up in Buffalo for almost for 20, 29 years. I think it's the best defense in the history of that franchise. I think they can get after it. Now, there's some guys out there, no question. You can talk to a guy about a guy like Jerry Hughes, who's played very well. He had 10.5 sacks in 2013, and he was the guy that did not go to the Pro Bowl for them. So they've got some guys that are kind of benefiting from Kyle Williams, Mario Williams, and Marcel Darius. And Hughes may be one of them. And some of those linebackers' play has been picked up there. I think they've been pleasantly surprised by the play of their linebackers and their corners and safeties as well. I think they've really stepped forward in all phases. Schwartz has really coordinated that defense extremely well. And I agree with you. I think they're as good up front as anybody in the NFL, and that's going to be a problem for Denver this weekend. But they just, you know, as a team, they haven't scored enough points really to scare anybody. And that's why the Bills are in that logjam at 7-5, like with all those other people.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, I wanted to ask you, I saw the Toronto series is gone. Is that new ownership coming in and saying, we've had enough of you, we're not going anywhere, no thank you? Was that new ownership that put a close to that?
I think a little bit of that is it. I think they got a lot of benefit out of the Toronto series, no question, though. I mean, they increased their footprint up there. They got a huge percentage increase in their season ticket sales from people across the border. And for people who don't know, Buffalo sits virtually on the border with Canada, and Toronto is a city of about 2.5 million or 3 million people that is still growing at a fast rate. And it's only a 90-minute drive with no traffic to get down to Buffalo. So a lot of people from southern Ontario come down to Buffalo. And that series really helped enlarge that relationship and strengthen it. But now that they've done that, I think they're ready to say that the Canadians can come down. They've seen enough, and they're going to have to come to Buffalo to watch the games.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm glad to hear that. I think most people are glad, and hopefully this team will stay in Buffalo for a long, long time. Hey, Steve, good talking to you. Can't wait to see you. We're going to have some good weather for you on Sunday, I promise.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Steve Tasker joining us this morning.